I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hello and welcome to Super Scoreboard Sunday, a brand new permanent time slot for Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Every Sunday from 4 until 7, we'll be here with the first comprehensive review of the weekend's action, where you can have your say. We'll dive into the biggest talking points, and there's going to be no lack of talking points today because the scheduling means we have Celtic taking on St Mirren and Flag Day in just half an hour. Reaction as Russell Martin hits out at Eagle and self-preservation amongst his range players after dropping points at Motherwell. Killy and Livy drew yesterday, as did Falkirk and Dundee United today. It's half time between Hibs and Dundee, with Hibs having a lead there, and as I say, not long until kickoff at Celtic Park. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio today is Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans.
What a day to start the new programme, Andrew, because we are in the midst of a quite remarkable 72 hours. On Friday, Brendan Rodgers, highly critical of the people who employ him at Celtic Park, and his words, for me, were the equivalent of Brendan Rodgers handing in his notice. This will be his last season. I think he's had enough. And then, when Rangers should have been taking advantage of the Celtic situation, the controversy, the uncertainty, Rangers then go and make a mess of it against Motherwell at Fir Park, and Russell Martin has a meltdown. Was that advisable? I'm not sure it was. And now today, the emphasis switches back to Celtic because there's a three-course deal on the menu here. Celtic could go 2 points in front of Rangers if they beat St Mirren. Celtic could join Rangers on 1 point if they draw with St Mirren. Or Celtic could go 1 point behind Rangers by losing to St Mirren. And incidentally, Yang's playing.
And I cannot wait to see him flying down that wing today. I think it's a massive, massive day for not only Yang, but myself sitting next to Hugh Keevans, because if he doesn't have a good performance, I'm never going to hear the end of it. If he does have a good performance, he won't hear the end of it. But I'm very honoured to be here on Sunday, not only sitting next to you, Hugh, but this is the first ever Sunday show for Super Scoreboard, so we'll be remembered forever.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Lots to get into, and we don't want to hang about with phone calls every Sunday. We want to take your calls straight away. 4 until 7, 3 hours of reaction. So give us a call now, 0141 951 1025. Maybe you're a Celtic fan that's building up to Flag Day, that game against St Mirren. What are you thinking ahead of that? Maybe you are a Rangers fan and have some opinions about that game yesterday evening. I've seen a lot on social media, especially after Russell Martin's comments that we'll hear as well in a short period of time. We're going to go to Celtic Park as well to hear from Gabriel, get the teams ahead of that game, and we're going to look back on the rest of the weekend's action. 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in right now, and we'll go to Celtic Park now to get teams and a bit of build-up from Gabriel.
Yes, Andrew, good afternoon from the home of the champions. It's lovely weather here in the East End on Flag Day, and it is time to do it all over again. Celtic have won 4 in a row, 13 of the last 14 league titles, and they're looking to continue their control of Scottish football. Rangers, as we all know, have already left the door ajar for the Hoops to take a lead in the title race. But Brendan Rodgers doesn't simply want to maintain their dominance. He wants to progress to the next level, and that has been the main gripe of supporters here around me across the summer. The 6 signings have come in, of course, spearheaded by the return of favourite son Kieran Tierney. But only £3 million has been spent so far. Nicholas Koerner's gone for big bucks to Italy. Jota remains sidelined with an ACL injury, and there's still a lingering feeling that Thiago has not truly been replaced. Rodgers claims he's lacking firepower up top and is urging the board to make more instant impact signings as soon as possible. But nonetheless, this team are still the ones to beat. The starting 11 remains very impressive. There are two new signings in that starting team. Tierney is back, and expect him to get a rapturous welcome when he comes out. Swedish international Benjamin Nygren is in from the beginning as well. Interestingly, he is playing as one of the midfielders, Andrew. Now, he had been doing that in pre-season as well, but his inclusion means there's no place in the team for record signing Arne Engels. The Belgian is amongst the substitutes, and as Hugh said, Yang is the one chosen on the right wing. The team is as follows: Kasper Schmeichel in goal, a defensive Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales and Kieran Tierney. Captain Callum McGregor is at the base of midfield with Benjamin Nygren and Leo Hatate either side. Yang and Dyson Maeda are on the wings. Adam Eder plays through the middle. The substitutes: Sinisalo, Ralfson, Trusty, McCowan, Engels, Bernardo, Forrest, Shin and Kenny. But it's not all about the champions today. St Mirren arrive here now firmly a top six side. Stephen Robinson is tasking his men with finishing in the top half once more for a fourth time in a row. We were speaking to him on Thursday. He feels his squad have improved. They've had a decent enough League Cup group stage, winning their group. They've fared well against big sides recently over the last couple of years. And don't forget, the Buddies nearly won here on the final day of last season, if it wasn't for that last-gasp James Forrest equaliser. Their team is as follows, Andrew. It's still that three at the back formation with Shamal George in goal. Marcus Fraser, Alex Gogic and Richard King are the three. Jaden Richardson, Killian Phillips, Fraser Taylor, Mark O'Hara and Declan John play across the middle with Roland Adouru and Mikel Manton up top. Substitutes: Mullen, Freckleton, Sobowale, Smith, McMenamin, Dyke Steele, Calvin, Ayunga and Mooney. The referee will be Don Robertson. The bar, Greg Aitken. The place is starting to pack out. Usual carnival atmosphere here on opening weekend, and it will be all-time legend Paul McStay who will unfurl the league flag just before kickoff at 4:30.
Well, Celtic fans, what do you make of that lineup? We will be here across the whole game as well. So maybe you're sitting at home and going to watch it and you want to chat to us while it's on. 01419511025. The two of you touched on it. Hugh Yang in the starting lineup. Is that something that, if you get to the end of last season, that you think most Celtic fans, pretty much every Celtic fan, would have been surprised if he was essentially one of the first choice wingers at this point in the season?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, Yang was part of the cup final losing team. He finished the match and did nothing. Celtic have brought in £25 million since January with the sale of Kyogo and Nicholas Kuhn, and they're still going with Yang as a first choice because Brendan Rodgers has no other alternative. The recruitment policy has gone wrong, and that's what the manager pointed out on Friday. The most glaring area of the side that is in need of refurbishment is up front. Dyson Maeda today, last season's player of the year, outstanding player for Celtic, no problem. He's joined by Eder, who, although he got 20 goals last season, never mind me, he hasn't convinced the Celtic supporters that he's the real deal either. And Yang, I'm afraid, comes into the category of hit and miss.
Interested in Benjamin Nygren's inclusion because he, in pre-season, has been playing in that midfield three. It was always going to be interesting to see whether he was going to start there, who he would start alongside if he was. Arne Engels is the one that is on the bench. Gab's mentioned it, £11 million spent on him last summer. Looking forward to seeing how that plays out across the season because that's a lot of money to spend on someone that may not potentially be first choice now for the new season.
Yeah, but regardless of your price tag, you have to be, you know, at it, especially when you're playing for Celtic Football Club. So clearly Brendan Rodgers is picking the boys who've came through pre-season the best, who thinks he gives them the best chance of winning this game. And whether Engels cost £11 million or £1 million, he has to hit a certain level to make sure he's in that midfield starting three. You know, unfortunately for him, but fortunately for the three who are starting, you know, he's behind them at this moment in time. And listen, players, it's going to happen in his career. You know, it's all about reactions now. So whether he gets on today or whether he starts the next game or comes on in the next game, he has to show Brendan Rodgers that he's wrong. And that's the exact reaction that Brendan Rodgers will want. There's no time to sulk when you're playing for Celtic.
Likewise, Paolo Bernardo. You know, a lot was expected of Paolo Bernardo, but he has flattered to deceive. And he'll have to wait in line for a place in the team. I haven't seen Nygren in the flesh. Looking
because
forward
it might
to
also not be a negative reflection necessarily on the likes of Ingles and Bernardo. It may well be that Benjamin Nygren has come in and actually been a surprise package for Brendan Rodgers and is much better than maybe he thought he was going to be, or just is better than his price tag suggests.
It's the one area of the team where Celtic are rich and in terms of choice, but I go back to it, the front three is reflective of a recruitment policy that is not good enough, and Brendan Rodgers is fed up with it.
Well, Celtic fans, St Mirren fans, let us know what you think building up to that game or during the game as well. We want to hear from you. 01419511025. We're going to speak to Adam, who's a Rangers fan in Finiston, but before that, let's hear a bit from Russell Martin, shall we, because a lot has been made of Rangers' performance against Motherwell yesterday, of course dropping points on their opening Premiership game of the season. Russell Martin came out and didn't mince his words at all, did he, in his post-match press conference. He talked about ego of some players, that they need to drop that. He talked about self-preservation. This is what he had to say after the game.
I'm very disappointed and a bit hurt and a bit angry at a lot of stuff I saw. So Motherwell were really good, credit to them. But I said to the players in there, it's not like the problems haven't been tactical yet, really. They've been mentality, about energy, about courage, intensity, aggression to play, that we haven't started games well enough in the first half in the two European games. And then showed a bit more willingness to trust the detail in each other and work. And then today we go ahead and we're playing some okay stuff. Every time we get in the final third, we turn the ball over and lose and make crazy decisions. So they're either selfish decisions or they're based on anxiety. So we need to get to the bottom of that, because there was far too much like stuff that we haven't worked on or haven't seen. So when we do what we worked on and we don't come through, then that's on us as a coaching staff and a group. But when the problems are, and I've said it to the players, it's no different to what I've said to you. It's not me digging them out and trying to, I take full responsibility for it, but that hurts me more than anything. The problem should be tactical. There shouldn't be mentality. So we have too many guys that slip into self-preservation mode, and I think it's been a factor at this club for the last few years for sure. So when it's going well, you're all in. You want to run, you want the ball, is nice. But when it's not going well, don't want to run so much. You pick and choose when you want to run. You pick and choose when you want to compete and mark your player from a throw-in or a corner. You pick and choose when to run back, and it's unacceptable for this football club. And for us, the coaching staff, it's just not acceptable. So loads of teething problems, the same, like in terms of tactically that previous clubs have been at and all that stuff. There's always going to be, we're 6 weeks in, so there will be issues. But the issue today is purely is mentality. So too much ego, too much self-preservation, and you're either all in all the time or you're not. And if you're not, you just won't play very much.
Yeah, a very honest assessment there from Russell Martin. Is he too honest there? Can you understand why he's come out and said those things?
Well, he starts off by saying, it's not me digging them out, and then he digs them out big time. Journalistically speaking, lovely. Great for the guys in my profession. Great for Super Scoreboard. But I'm not sure, Marvin, it's wise to go into meltdown mode after one game. It comes across for me as, listen, it's got nothing to do with me, it's them.
I'm probably on Russell Martin's side in terms of the way he's gone about this, because how long do you wait? Do you wait 5 or 10 games and you start to say these things? If he's noticing it from the start, he's letting the players know that also. And as professional footballers, when you hear your manager speak about this in the words that he's used there, and you fall into that category, you have to do something about it. You know, if you're sitting in that dressing room thinking that's not about me, then obviously you're doing your job to the best of your ability. But the things he's talking about here, you know, people running hard and mentality and egos and all these sorts of things, that's been labelled at this Rangers squad before.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think it's a meltdown for me. I think it's a manager being very, very honest. And I know we live in a society now where people want to jump on every single word that's said and said, oh, he's doing this, he's throwing the players under the bus. Me personally, if I was a professional footballer within that dressing room and I fell into the category of the players he's speaking about there, I would do something about it. And if those players don't do something about it, as he said, they're not right for the football club. So I don't disagree with him at all. There's no point in, you know, mincing your words with them. This is the way it's going to be done. If you don't want to do it, as Clement tried to do before, then get out. So many press conferences we heard post-match from Clement that he was, you know, protecting the players and saying the wrong things, and people coming out and saying, this guy's watching a different game to us. I don't think there's any Rangers fan out there that would disagree with what Russell Martin is saying. Some might say he shouldn't have said it and he's throwing the players under the bus. Some will agree with him. But in fact, the words that he's saying and the words he's using there, I think you saw in that performance against Motherwell yesterday.
Well, let's get the view of Adam, who's a Rangers fan in Finiston. Remember, on this new format, we'll be taking your calls all the way through from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Adam, what did you make of yesterday's performance?
Well, hello to guys, all the guys. Yeah, me and my mate watched it and we just thought Rangers were just insipid, devoid of ideas, no imagination. The Motherwell keeper looked dodgy. Butlin looked dodgy. I just think it's... I made a prediction. It's like in the first three Rangers games, I was saying a draw, a victory and a defeat. So I think they'll beat Dundee and I think they'll get beat by St Mirren. And then that's coming into the game against Celtic. So potentially, at the end of the month, they could be 8 points behind Celtic after four games. I mean, they're going to sign Ant-Man. I mean, maybe they should go for Ryan Kent's brother Clark, because it'll take two superheroes to win the league this season.
Well, you know, he was honest enough to admit that Rangers got a point they didn't deserve yesterday. And he's lucky, Russell Martin, because Panathinaikos should have beaten them at Ibrox, should have beaten them in Athens, but when they got in front of goal, they couldn't kick their own backside. So he's fortunate, because Motherwell should have beaten Rangers yesterday, but for their awful finishing. So he has problems, and only the players, as Marvin says, can get him out of those situations. But we're very interested to see the team on Tuesday, Marvin, to see if that is reflective of what he was talking about yesterday.
Yeah. Sorry, and that's kind of the next point to it, Hugh. You know, do you now make the changes straight away? Does he see reaction from these players? Because these reactions can come in training as well, not only in matches. So I totally agree. You know, coming into Tuesday's game, it'll be very, very interesting, because some of the players he substituted yesterday, you wouldn't normally expect to leave the pitch for Rangers. Yeah. So, yeah, he's going to have to find the right balance with that as well.
Is it hard also to strike the balance as someone on the outside looking in of exactly where the issues are? Because if Russell Martin's coming out post-match and he's saying that it's not tactical, it's mentality and players aren't doing their jobs and some players need to drop their ego and they're going into self-preservation mode. But is it also hard to see exactly what the tactics and the style is meant to look like if the players aren't doing their job and you can't really work out whether it will work or not?
I mean, I think, you know, if you look at the way Russell Martin's teams have played in the past and what Rangers were trying to do yesterday, they were trying to build through the thirds. And on so many occasions, they were playing from Butland to a centre-half to the fullback, and it was breaking down from there. So, you know, clearly, you know, the midfield players aren't dropping into areas they should be dropping into. The players on the ball aren't making the right decisions. You know, players maybe at the top end aren't running them behind when they should be doing these things. So I think you can see what they were trying to do. But the fact it kept on breaking down and they didn't have kind of a plan B to it. And Russell Martin was probably thinking, no disrespect, we're playing against Motherwell. You know, we shouldn't have to have a plan B. If you players do exactly what you're out there to do, we shouldn't have a problem at all. But he's also speaking about players, you know, not running hard enough, not running back, not marking on throw-ons. You know, those sorts of things, you can't afford to do that as a professional footballer, let alone you're playing for a football club who are trying to challenge and wrestle the title back from Celtic, who have been so dominant domestically.
I think Adam will be one of those Rangers fans who's immediately disappointed, because Rangers' problem last season was not games against Celtic. On occasion, Rangers were better than Celtic in the Old Firm games, but it was the inability to stop dropping daft points elsewhere that cost Rangers. And straight away, game one, they've done it again.
Adam, do you have faith that, you know, it will click and it will start to work if Russell Martin gets in more of his own players and he manages to maybe weed out the players that he doesn't feel are, you know, working to his system, or maybe working as hard as he wants to? Or do you have deeper concerns than that?
It was refreshing, brutally honest. But he never mentioned Wednesday. Obviously, that made me a bit draining in Athens. But anyway, even still, there was just nothing. You couldn't see anything. Like, how many shots did Rangers have at goal in the second half? I don't know, was it three? Maybe. You've seen the Motherwell keeper, he was having a nightmare. Never even any shots at goal. It's just like, it just seems really poor. So, I don't know, obviously Victoria Pilsen on Tuesday. I mean, the games against Panathinaikos, on a better day, that could have been 3 goals for 12 against, if they had actually hit the net.
It's certainly, he's under pressure, Adam, on Tuesday. And I know we're always accused of being knee-jerk capital of the world and all the rest of it, but he's the manager of Rangers. He started off by dropping 2 points, which Adam and other Rangers supporters will think that shouldn't have happened. And now straight away, he has to do something against Victoria Pilsen, which makes sure that Rangers go to the return leg in a confident, optimistic frame of mind.
Adam's talking about not Rangers not creating enough chances, not being either clinical, creative enough in the final third, but also issues at the other end of the pitch where Motherwell, and credit to Motherwell, by the way, I thought Motherwell were very impressive. Jens Bertolascu was really happy with how they played. They obviously are, you know, instilling their own new style, and they'll get a lot of plaudits. We'll get on to Motherwell, but Rangers at the other end of the park had their issues as well. They were exposed in the middle of the park as well. It wasn't just, you know, the concerns for Russell Martin won't just be in one area of the park, will they?
No, they'll be in all areas of the park, because at the end of the day, they've gone and drawn a game that they shouldn't have drawn. And, you know, you said about in the final third, decision-making in the final third was poor. You know, people making the wrong decisions. Clearly, they've worked on things in training, and it goes on to the, you know, the pitch, and people are shooting when they shouldn't be shooting. They're, you know, playing past they shouldn't be playing. But like you said, defensively at times they did look shaky as well. But there's always going to be, if you're expansive on the ball, it's about your reaction, how quickly you can get in from, you know, being on the ball to then into a defensive position. And now what you're speaking about there, the players weren't running hard enough, or some of them weren't. That means in transition, the gaps are still there, and Motherwell were exploiting them. As you said, Motherwell were really, really good on the counter-attack. You know, they're really happy with the way that they performed. But just sticking to Rangers at this moment in time, you know, that bit there, if you're not going to run hard, it's all right having the ball, as he said there, and when it's going well, you know, players look easy on the eye. But it's the other side of it. It's the ugly side of the game that people always speak about. That they're the hard yards, and that's a mentality thing, like you said, because those Rangers players should be able to run all day, whether they played midweek or not. They should be able to play on Saturday, play 90 minutes, and be able to run on that football pitch, and some of them just weren't doing that.
Yeah, well, he said he was very, very proud of his players in Athens, and he's gone from very proud to very disillusioned in 3 days. So I go back to Tuesday night, Victoria Pilsen. The Rangers fans are looking now, and they're scrutinising the manager.
Yeah, who do you expect to come out of that team, Adam? Because Russell Martin said after the game that there will be changes. He obviously criticised some of the players, didn't name any of the players that he was criticising. Is there anyone you would fully expect not to be involved or not to be starting that game on Tuesday?
Well, I think it's maybe IDS, irritable Dill syndrome. I would put Dessers on for the start. And I would take Dowell off. What about Mikey Moore? Is he eligible to play? Would they put him on?
Yeah, we need to wait and see on Mikey Moore. Yeah, I think it's the international clearance. But see on Kieran Dill. Kieran Dill lasted the 90 minutes. He wasn't one of the players that was taken off. Would you imagine that? Does that show that he's maybe one of the players that is doing the running and is doing the work for Russell Martin if he's continually getting picked and being kept on the park?
Yeah, I think he's a player that Russell Martin trusts at this moment in time. And listen, I think we all know, by any stretch of the imagination, he's not a right winger. He's not someone that I imagine playing, you know, wide for Rangers come the end of this transfer window. But, you know, when the manager's talking about players not running, and, you know, he makes the substitutions that he's made, Andrew, as you said there, and Dowell isn't one of them, you know, I expect him to start again, because it's about, you know, being able to rely on players at this moment in time. Maybe move him into centre midfield because he wasn't happy with one of the three in there, but I expect Dowell to start. But, you know, the manager said that there will be changes, which is always a risky thing for me. You know, straight after a game, saying these things, you know, emotions are high, it's disappointing that they've dropped 2 points. But, you know, now looking, like you said, the fans on Tuesday, if he doesn't make any changes, then again, the questions will be pointed at Russell Martin if the performance is as poor as it was yesterday.
Well, thank you to Adam. Rangers fans, anything to add to that? 01419511025. Want to hear from you, Motherwell fans, as well. How impressed were you with that draw yesterday? Celtic fans, we are not long until kick-off, about 5 minutes to go. We'll go back to Celtic Park. But if you want to let us know what you're thinking of the game as it goes along, the same as you, St Mirren fans, 01419511025. We'll get in touch next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on new permanent Sunday Super Scoreboard slot 4 until 7. We will take your calls throughout the evening on the weekend's action. And of course, Celtic taking on St Mirren. It is closing in on kickoff. Let's go back to Celtic Park and get all the build up with Gabriel Antoniazzi.
Yes, Andrew, listen to this.
That is club legend Paul McStay, who has just unfurled the league flag. Celtic Football Club champions 2024-2025. Of course, the maestro, an ultimate one-club man who spent his whole career here, often in tough times, and never wavered. Won 3 league titles and the eternal love of all the supporters here. And that's a task for Callum McGregor, the current captain, and all of the players. Can they do it again? Will they be doing this again in 12 months' time? A sea of green and white around me, Andrew, and an emotional You'll Never Walk Alone that just was ringing out around the stand. Dedicated to John Fallon and John Clark, two Lisbon Lions who sadly passed away over the summer. Just to the right of me, a huge tifo with the face of Lisbon Lion, John Clark. A very, very emotional day, both good and bad, here at Celtic Park. But we know what this means, Flag Day. 10 months of drama, pain and glory. How it will end, no one knows, but it all starts here. The task for Brendan Rodgers' men is to do it all over again, defend their crown, push for both domestic cups and continue to grow in Europe. Is this the year that they overtake Rangers and win a 56th league title? That's the hope of every single person inside this stadium, except of course those wearing black on the pitch. Ted Mirren are once again trying to spoil the party, as they so nearly did on the final day of last season. Stephen Robinson wants his men to defy the odds once more and reach the top six again. Let's go through the teams as the captains shake hands. It's Kasper Schmeichel in goal, a defence for Celtic of Alistair Johnston, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales and Kieran Tierney. Callum McGregor has Benjamin Negrin and Reo Hatate either side of him in midfield. Yang Adamida and Dyson Maeda are the front three. For the visitors, it's Shamal George in goal, a defence of Marcus Fraser, Alex Gogic and Richard King. Jaden Richardson, Killian Phillips, Fraser Taylor, Mark O'Hara and Declan John are across the middle. Roland Edu and Mikel Mandron are the top two. And I'll hand it back to you, Andrew, as we're about to have a minute's silence here ahead of kickoff.
Yeah, that minute's silence because John Clark and John Fallon, two Lisbon Lions, sadly passing away over the summer. Two men who are eternal when it comes to Celtic.
Yeah, John Clark, the ultimate Celtic man. You know, Billy McNeil and John Clark were the mainstays on Celtic's run to Lisbon on the 25th of May 1967. John Fallon, the stand-in goalkeeper, was on the bench that day. Again, another outstanding Celtic man. Day heavy on nostalgia. You know, I can't believe Paul McStay's 60 years old now. I remember his Old Firm debut at Celtic Park, and the Dazzler was in the Rangers team that day. That's how old Paul McStay is. But a day heavy on nostalgia, and when the whistle blows, it'll be a day heavy in the burden of the responsibility that the Celtic players will carry after what Brendan Rodgers has had to say, and after what happened to Rangers yesterday. We're back to my old cliche. A draw's a disaster, a defeat's a catastrophe. A draw was a disaster for Russell Martin yesterday. A defeat would be a catastrophe for Celtic today.
Yeah, just coming to the end of that minute's applause for the two Celtic legends, John Clark and John Fallon. So just about to get underway at Celtic Park for Celtic and St Mirren's first league game of the season. It kind of seems as if St Mirren are always just there for Celtic's big occasions at the moment. Stephen Robinson, I wonder, you must be sick of it, because every time he seems to go to Celtic Park, they're either lifting a trophy or raising a flag at the moment.
Yeah, when the fixtures came out, and you know, you always look for who the champions are playing first, and he sees his club are there, I'm sure he wouldn't have been very happy. But listen, he's got a very, very good squad together again. They'll make it difficult for Celtic. They won't just be here to, you know, partake in the flag and everything else. He'll want to come here and cause an upset. And as Hugh said there, you know, the back end of last season, they were very close to doing so. So again, he's talking about getting in the top six, but they'll fear no one. St Mirren are a really well-drilled team. I'm not saying they're going to go to Celtic Park and win this game of football, but they'll aim to give a good account of themselves. And that's one team, you know, Russell Martin speaking about, his team not running hard enough. St Mirren will definitely be running today.
In the final game of last season, St Mirren were better than Celtic at Celtic Park the whole game long. And then James Forrest, with virtually the last kick of the ball, changed negativity into positivity, because it was an important goal for James. It maintained his record of having scored every season in 17 at Celtic, and it also got Celtic off the hook with a draw. But St Mirren exposed weaknesses in the squad And those weaknesses have not yet been fully addressed, and that's why Brendan Rodgers is unhappy.
Yeah, we will keep you up to date with what is happening at Celtic Park. Just 30 seconds on the clock between Celtic and St Mirren. Of course, it is goalless. 78 minutes on the clock between Dundee and Hibs. Hibs took a 2-0 lead in that game, both goals coming from Kieran Bowie, but Finn Robertson got one before half-time, so we'll see how that unfolds in the last 10-15 minutes or so. A 2-2 draw between Falkirk and Dundee United earlier on today. It was a 2-2 draw between Kilmarnock and Livingston yesterday, and of course the one which I think will be a big talking point today, Motherwell 1, Rangers 1, and we will look back on that. Any calls on your team's action this weekend? 0141 951 1025. Maybe you're a Celtic fan or a St Mirren fan watching along at home and you want to get involved, your thoughts on this game that is live on the TV. 0141 951 1025. One sight that a lot of Celtic fans will be delighted to see will be Kieran Tierney back, sure, in a Celtic top at Celtic Park.
He adds to the nostalgic aspect of the day. Kieran Tierney, the fan who got a jersey, and he adored playing for Celtic, earned them £25 million, comes back as a free agent, and was honest enough to say it was now or never, because he wasn't going to go back to Celtic when his legs had gone. But Celtic had made a shabby start to this match defensively, and they have to be careful. St Mirren have had a couple of opportunities.
Yeah, there's nearly a massive mix-up between Schmeichel and Carter Vickers. I think it was Carter Vickers in the end just took control of the situation and cleared it. It fell to Phillips, but luckily for Celtic, you know, fell to his wrong foot, probably about 40 yards out. Otherwise, I think on his favoured foot, he had an empty net to attempt to hit. But listen, yeah, Celtic, it's only a couple of minutes into it, but I expect him to start, you know, asserting their dominance on this game very, very quickly.
Yeah, the ball's just been played into the box there. Dyson Maeda trying to get in behind. Will be a goal kick to St Mirren. As I said, we'll keep you up to date with what's happening at Celtic Park. But on this new Sunday format, we are taking calls throughout. Neil is a Rangers fan in Cumbernauld. Neil, how do you reflect on yesterday's game?
First of all, I just want to say, thank God you guys are on a Sunday now. you've just saved my Sunday. I travel down from Cumbernauld down to Bolton every Sunday.
Wow.
It's a 3-hour drive and use it on for 3 hours. Absolutely perfect.
Good stuff. We'll have you every single weekend, Neil.
That's brilliant. Looking forward to it. My main point, if you let me go through it, is the natural balance of the team to me is distorted. You know, we've got Aaron's playing at left back, who's right footed. But I also want to talk about the midfield as well. Nico Raskin, right footed, and he's on the left centre midfield. Modi Amande, left footed, and he's on the right centre of midfield. Then you've got Kieran Dowell, left footed, on right mid. And Gassama or Curtis, right footed, on the left wing. I understand with the wingers, because it allows you to bring your inverted fullbacks into play, but it also allows you to get shots away if they go on the outside on the overlap. But between Raskin and Diamande, it's not working in there with those two in those positions. If there's a through ball they can make or a quick cross that they can make, it's slowing them down because they need to cut back onto their strong foot to be able to do that. And when they're coming back in, they're having to find another player that's further back, Joe Rothwell, etc. So I just think the natural balance of the team is totally distorted.
Yeah, I think this is one of these things that maybe 20 years ago, if someone brought up what foot, you know, each player was, that it wouldn't really, you know, people would wonder what on earth you're talking about. But how important is it in the modern game, Marvin, to have that correct balance, the full Rangers back line all being right footed when you're trying to build out from the back? You look at that midfield, as Neil highlighted as well. Can that be a real issue?
It can be an issue in terms of building up from the back if, you know, everyone is right footed or everyone's left footed, because naturally, you know, the ball goes to Rangers left back at this moment in time and he's going to be the press and you're trying to force him on that weaker foot, you know, as Neil's saying there. So it can cause a problem 100%, you know, because neither of the two players on the left hand side are willing to go long because it's on their weaker foot if they're shown outside the pitch. In terms of the midfielders, it's something that's quite common now in terms of, you know, having a left centre midfielder who's right footed, especially if you're playing in a side that want to build up through the thirds. Because naturally, you know, if I'm playing and I'm a right foot on the left hand side, I'm coming in and taking the ball on my right foot, you know, from a centre half or whatever else it might be. And it's a lot easier for me to play through the lines. But as Neil, you know, mentioned there, when you go into the top third and these players are making forward runs, you know, they might be in an opportunity to make a cross when they've made that third man run, but it is then on their weaker foot. So it's about trying to get that balance. And obviously, you know, the way that Russell Martin wants to play, he doesn't probably want those players, you know, breaking in behind and putting crosses into the box, hence why they're on the, you know, the wrong side. But I definitely think, you know, Rangers, as I said, come the end of this window, they have much more of a balance. They've got Jeffrey, I mean, he's on the bench now and making his way back to full fitness. I imagine he'll come in at left back, and then that gives competition at right back.
I mean, Russell Martin was asked about Jeffrey on Friday in the left back situation, and he said it's not a fitness thing with Jeffrey. Basically said that Jeffrey knows what he needs to work on to get into the team, and that Max Ahrens is being selected there because at the moment he feels he's the best option.
That can cause problems for me. I just think so. Listen, Russell Martin sees these players every day. Like you said, we're on the outside looking in, but I just think from a pressing point of view, everyone will be saying, like, let it go to Rangers, left side of centre half or left back, and then we'll press from there, because, you know, they don't really have that option to go long. So then they're trying to play themselves, you know, through the lines. And that's when Motherwell were picking up the ball yesterday. They were robbing that next pass.
Russell Martin's assertion has always been that there are other players not doing enough in training for him to say, well, I should take him out and put him in. So that's a problem. The other factor at work here is that Rangers will bring in more players before this transfer window closes. I think they've brought in 9 so far, and there will be more to come. And it raises another interesting point, that the squad's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The wage bill's getting higher and higher and higher. So things are going to happen, will need to happen, in both an incoming and outgoing sense, because the squad is bloated, and as Marvin will tell you, that's not any use to a head coach on a daily basis trying to organise training.
Neil, are there the players in the building at the moment that you feel are able to solve those issues, or do you think that will purely come from Russell Martin having to go out and get those players?
I think we need to go out and get the players, but I also believe you need to play the players in the right position. The Ahrens are have it right back. Make the decision. We know we need to go get a left back, so the new left back and your left, what do we need to do? There's going to be new players come in, but like Mr. Keevan says, we are overloaded with deadwood, and it seems to be that way for the last 4 or 5 years. We've been overloaded with deadwood and trying to get moving players on, and the fact that we've only received one bid over the summer, and that was for Besser, speaks loudly about how other teams value our players.
Well, the other problem that Rangers have, of course, is that the players are on substantial wages at Ibrox, such as Rabbi Matondo, just to pluck a name out of the air. And if you're interested in buying Rabbi Matondo, you say, but not at that wage. So that might be one of the contributory factors as to why players are not being offloaded as they should be.
I think that's the biggest problem. I think you look at the players that Rangers will want to offload, as Hugh said there, and none of them are going to get, you know, more wages than they're currently on, outside of maybe Raskin if he makes a move at this moment in time. So, you know, you've got one player that's going to get more money than he's currently on, but the players that you're trying to offload will be lucky to get half the money that they're on, and they're not going to leave the building, and they're well within their rights to do so as well. You know, they'll sit their contracts out, and Rangers can't keep bringing players in. You know, I think Neil said there about another left back, but you have Yilmaz and Jeffrey in the building already. You know, it's not their fault that neither of those two are playing. You're playing a right back at left back. I can't see the board saying, you know what, let's go and sign a third left back, because again, it's going to create massive problems. They'll be too bloated in certain areas.
Well, thank you to Neil. If you've got anything to add to that, 01419511025. Celtic fans and St Mirren fans interested to get your thoughts while this game is ongoing at Celtic Park, just shy of 10 minutes on the clock. I think a stoppage in play, a pretty heavy collision between Shamal George and Adam Ida. So Shamal George is getting treatment. Not too much has happened. Celtic sort of settling into the game a bit more than they were in the opening minutes.
Yeah, Maeda's made a few runs in behind, and they've looked to try and hit him. I think Tierney's hit one pass, and Hatate's done one as well. And he's given it a thumbs up. He's just ran away from him slightly. Like you said there, Shamal George got a massive collision there with Adam Ida. Adam Ida, well within his rights to go for it. You know, yeah. It's a ball. He's taken a touch. Gogic has done really well to get himself between, you know, player and ball. And Ida's trying to nick the ball around the other side. It's just a natural coming together. But yeah, listen, it's, as I said, 10 minutes into the game, but Celtic have been a bit better in wide areas. Just want to see a little bit more from Yang.
Yeah. Is he still on the park? Is he still
I knew
playing?
That'll get you going.
I thought that was honesty on the part of George, the St Mirren goalkeeper, and Adam Ida, because the goalkeeper did what he had to do, and Ida, as Marvin said, perfectly entitled to go for that ball. He's got past Gogic. But overall, it's a fairly tame opening. Still waiting for the game to come alive, I think.
Yeah, I did see a shot of Manchester City centre-back Jemai Simpson-Pusey, as I'm reliably informed it's pronounced, sitting in the stand. That deal will be announced soon. He's going to join on loan from Manchester City, so clearly that is a done deal if he is there at the stadium. So we want your thoughts on whether it's on this game, Celtic-St Mirren, whether it is on Motherwell against Rangers yesterday, or the rest of the Premiership matches, no matter who you support, or down the divisions as well. 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are taking your calls through to 7 o'clock, so get in touch. 0141 951 1025. We've been reflecting on that game between Motherwell and Rangers yesterday, so maybe you are a Motherwell or Rangers fan that wants to add to that. 0141 951 1025. Celtic currently in action against St Mirren on Flag Day. 15 minutes on the clock, still goalless between the two teams. So any thoughts as that's ongoing, we'd like to hear them. 0141 951 1025. An update of what's happening elsewhere is into injury time between Dundee and Hibs. Hibs still have that 2-1 advantage that they had at half time, so that will be maybe a nervy end to the game for Hibs, because I think Dundee, not a lot maybe expected of Dundee just given their Premier Sports Cup group stages, but running Hibs close up to this point.
If you look at our season predictions, you'll find that the only thing that's expected of Dundee is relegation for most people. But fair play to Hibs, because it was a dreadful disappointment for them against Michelin. The goal from Michelin was stunning. These things happen, as Marvin knows, last minute of extra time. But they've regrouped, they've got on with it, and they look as if they'll hold on for three valuable points.
Stephen is a Celtic fan in Kirkintilloch. Stephen, what are you making of today's game so far?
Well, listen, I've literally just turned it on this second, guys. You know, listen, if you're looking at that lineup, that's probably a lineup in the middle of last season that we would have put as one of our lowest, as one of our lower setups. You know, I think it's just a sad indictment of the board not backing Brendan thoroughly. You know, we're considerably weaker, sadly. We've lost a lot of offensive players and a lot of goals from the team. And I personally believe the board have simply just not backed Brendan, which is considered, I think, is really unfair, because he's, when he came back here, he'd left under a slight cloud, and he came back and he had to win back the fans. He's done that. He's kept his end of the bargain up. He's won almost everything. And I feel that the board are culpable of not backing him.
Before we even get to the transfers, Stephen, Brendan Rodgers' situation, not to have been offered a new contract, an extension to his existing agreement, I find incredible. As you say, he's contested 13 trophies as Celtic manager over two spells at the club, and he's won 11 of them. In other words, Brendan Rodgers is a serial winner. He has now entered the last season of his agreement and, by his own admission, has not been offered a new contract. So the people at Celtic are as dilatory when it comes to the manager's contract as they are when it comes to signing players. And, you know, as you rightly point out, the team today is weaker than a team that Celtic could have chosen at points of last season. They've taken in £25 million since January through the sale of Kyogo Furuhashi and Nicholas Kuhn. £25 million. And they've spent a fraction of that. They even get money back on Jeremy Frimpong when he joined Liverpool. And Brendan Rodgers, for me, I think, handed in his notice on Friday by what he had to say at the press conference. He's fed up pleading for a show of ambition from Celtic. He's not getting it, and I think Brendan's decided he's had enough.
Celtic are in here, could be the opener, but Dyson Maeda squares the ball across the box. Jamal George had been drawn out of his goal, but no Celtic player was able to get on the end of it. Hugh describes it as Brendan Rodgers putting in his notice. He says it's not a plea for the board to back him. What do you make of it? Did it seem like a plea? Was he calling out for, you know, the players to be signed that he's wanting? Does it sound just like an attitude that he's already defeated?
No, I think it's just another honest, you know, interview from him. I think he's came out and said exactly how he feels. He's obviously let the board know how he feels behind closed doors. They've got their visions in terms of how, you know, Celtic should do in the transfer market, and Brendan Rodgers will have his. One thing I'll say is that there's not a single manager out there that thinks they have enough in terms of, you know, players coming in or the right calibre of players or the right amount of money. But I definitely agree with what Hugh's saying there. Celtic have brought in a lot of money into the football club. I don't expect by any stretch of the imagination for them to end with the same squad they have, you know, out there today, come the end of the transfer window. But I do think it's getting more difficult for them to find these kind of hidden gems. You know, he's constantly trying to go out there. We saw it with Ange as well, and Brendan's done it, bringing players in, making them better and selling them on. You know, they've spent a lot of money on Engels and Ida, who probably haven't, you know, they haven't justified that price tag. So there could be a reluctance from the board to go out there again and spend like 9 million or 11 million pounds. But it's also a lot more difficult to find these 4 or 5 million pound players that are going to come in and improve this team because, you know, as Hugh said there, Celtic are serial winners. So to get players into the building that can come and improve this starting 11, which is what Brendan wants, is also going to, you know, be difficult.
I was going to say, Stephen, did those comments from Brendan Rodgers on Friday concern you?
And Brendan Rodgers is, I would say, is probably the best manager that Celtic will have, right, in the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years. He is an elite manager, whether some people would believe it or not. There's not many people are looking to come to Scotland and manage the big two clubs. You know, sadly, that's just where it is. There is bigger money elsewhere. I think Brendan is an astute manager. He's very intelligent and he knows his words will have ramifications. I feel as if he's put it out there. Like Hugh was saying, I think it's a notice of intent from a man who's kind of letting the board know, look, I will have options. But what I would say is Brendan has won favour of the fans after coming back, after leaving and then coming back. So the fans are all on his side, I would say.
There's a Champions League draw tomorrow, Stephen. Yeah. Celtic will find out their opponent, and therefore it'll be a two-leg tie with tens of millions of pounds at stake. And Celtic are still playing Yang up front. You know, the Kuhn's gone. Jota, sadly, out for the remainder of this year. Kyogo was never replaced. They are, and I'm being polite when I use the word dilatory. There are plenty of other words I could use to describe what's going on. And Brendan Rodgers has clearly had enough.
Well, thank you to Stephen. 01419511025. Plenty of time to get your calls in. We're here until 7 o'clock. But let's go to Dens Park, shall we? Because it's full time between Dundee and Hibs. Dave Galloway's there.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Full-time Dundee 1, Hibs 2. Hibs started very positively, forcing a couple of quick-fire corners. They were dominating possession and took a thoroughly deserved lead in 28 minutes. Bowie with a neat turn and shot into the bottom corner after the home defence couldn't clear the danger. And he capitalised on more ropey defending 3 minutes later, netting with a cool, composed finish after Obita's shot was saved by McCracken. But Dundee got a goal back in the 36th minute. Iredale slipped up and he capitalised before setting up Finn Robertson for a lovely finish. Hibs started the second half brightly, but Dundee had a good chance through Jones's dangerous cross in from the left hand side. However, Graham just couldn't quite get his head to the ball. The visitors went close with Campbell's back post header from a corner producing a fantastic parry by McCracken. Obita's cross come shot went just over the bar as they went all out for a third goal. They were doing most of the attacking, looked well in control. Both teams, as the match progressed, made a flurry of chances, a flurry of changes, but that didn't really affect the match. On the balance of play, the winning margin really should have been a lot more substantial. A good 3 points, though, for the Highbees, to the delight of their impressive 3,000-strong travelling support. However, it's just the start to the season. Stephen Presley's dark blues didn't want. It ended here at sun-soaked Dens Park. Dundee 1, Hibs 2.
Yeah, good start to the season for Hibs and Kieran Bowie as well. 6 goals he got last season. I think he probably impressed Hibs supporters as a striker, despite the fact that the goals tally is maybe not as impressive. But, you know, he's growing as a Hibs player. A couple of goals in the opening day of the league season, that'll do him the world of good.
Yeah, listen, he's a player that if Hibs can keep fit, it would be a massive asset for them. We saw the back end of last season getting caught up into the Scotland squad as well. Whenever he's played for Hibs, whether it's coming on or starting games, he's always been, you know, really, really effective for them. As you said, you know, starting this season with 2 goals as well was absolutely massive. And it's massive for the club as well. You know, in Europe, obviously, as Hugh said earlier, you know, going out, losing an extra time, they would have been tired. There's no doubt about it. But you see, getting that win today, that will give them an uplift. Obviously, they go into another game on Thursday, but it was huge for them to start the season well, especially after the way they started last season. So David Gray will be absolutely delighted, and so will Barry with the 2 goals.
Yeah, 2-1 win for Hibs over Dundee. Still goalless between Celtic and St Mirren. 24 minutes on the clock, and we're still taking your calls for another 2 hours. So 0141 951 1025. Give us a call now, and you can be up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on what is a brand new permanent time slot for Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are going to be here every Sunday from 4 until 7. It's going to be a comprehensive review of the weekend's action. You'll get the chance to have your say for the full 3 hours, so get your calls in now, 0141 951 1025. We've been reflecting on that draw between Motherwell and Rangers yesterday, and Russell Martin's comments as well. We'll hear a bit more from him as the show goes on. We're watching Celtic against St Mirren. It's flag day at Celtic Park. Half an hour in, no real big chances for either team, would you say, so far in this game? There was the one where Dyson Maeda got round Shamal George, but it was a very tight angle.
Yeah, no cutting edge from Celtic. I go back to that front three. Dyson Maeda, nothing to be said of a negative nature about him. Player of the year, terrific. But the other two, Ida, Yang, nothing. So it's a reason why a St Mirren go close. It's a reason why Brendan Rodgers has spoken out, and spoken out as forcefully as he did. Good save there from Kasper Schmeichel. So St Mirren have every chance today, and the Celtic squad is reflective of poor recruitment.
Yeah, Mark O'Hara with a curling shot there from about 20, 25 yards. Kasper Schmeichel, it was straight at him, through a few bodies, just decided to punch it rather than gather.
Yeah, I think it was one of those that, you know, was a comfortable height for him to parry away, rather than, you know, trying to hold it, spilling it, because there's a lot of St Mirren players that would have been, you know, first to the rebound. But, you know, St Mirren are growing in confidence that, you know, the further this game goes on, Celtic, if they've looked dangerous at all, has been between Tierney and Maeda down that left-hand side. Maeda, you know, made a real early movement off a free kick, as you spoke about there, Andrew, and goes round Shamal George, but unable to hit the target with it. But yeah, after 30 minutes, you know, St Mirren will be absolutely delighted with the way the game's going at this moment in time.
Well, if you want to give us your opinion on this game as it goes on, 0141 951 1025, we'll continue to look back, as I said, on Motherwell against Rangers and the rest of the weekend's action. A draw between Kilmarnock and Livingston. We'll go into a bit more depth with Marvin Bartley on that, of course, part of the Livingston coaching staff. Again, Falkirk drawing with Dundee United earlier on, a win for Hibs against Dundee, or maybe you're more interested in what was happening down the divisions as well. We want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. James is a Celtic fan in East Kilbride. James, what do you make of what you're seeing so far?
Yeah, slow start. As the panel was saying, nothing to worry about, but obviously not making a lot of chances now and then. But again, it's kind of the way Celtic can be sometimes. It can be a game of two halves, second half. They just kind of turn it on if we need to. So hopefully that'll be what happens today.
Is your interest just more generally about what's happening with Celtic, Brendan Rodgers' comments, the transfer window so far?
Yeah, it's kind of mainly for Hugh. I've been kind of listening to the show during the week a wee bit and yesterday. And kind of, I get where Hugh's coming from, but I'm surprised that Hugh's as shocked as what he is with how Brendan's being. I mean, I'm getting a bit of deja vu just with the language that Brendan's using for when we were in this position last time, and for Brendan's first tenure. You know, he was unhappy with the signing policy, he was unhappy with the budget situation, you know, not getting the money he wanted we've been here before. You know, this is not the first time Brendan's expressed concerns and issues in this department. And, you know, I don't even know if he'll last the season. It could be a case of come January, if that offer comes, if things are not going his way, it could just be, you know, history repeating itself.
So are you resigned, James, to this being Brendan Rodgers' last season?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I'd probably put money on him maybe not even lasting the season, Hugh, because, as I say, history could repeat itself here.
I think he will definitely last the season, because...
Surely he has to, just based on what he said.
Yeah,
he said on several occasions that he will see out his 3 years.
Yeah, he's not going to put a stain on his own legacy. As I say, this is a man who's won 11 of 13 trophies as Celtic manager, who, you know, wants to go out on a high, the kind of high that he deserves, given what he's done for Celtic. I'm just amazed that Celtic may be of the opinion they can find someone better than Brendan Rodgers. As I say, they've been slow, not only in terms of bringing players in, but apparently, according to Brendan, there has been no contractual offer to him at all. And I find that very strange.
Do you think that's something that, you know, the board will look at maybe after the window has been completed? Do you think all their kind of minds and all their energy at this moment in time is going on, you know, trying to bring players in by the end of the transfer window? Because I think it's a lot easier to open these negotiations with Brendan Rodgers if they go out and spend another £15 or £20 million than it is at this moment in time or the start of the summer when they haven't brought any players in.
I think the time to do Brendan Rodgers' contract was in the summer when, you know, he's approaching the last season. Do your business then. But, you know, Roger Hannah on yesterday's programme suggested that there were people inside Celtic Park who weren't best pleased by Brendan, what he said on Friday. Well, my answer to that is Celtic are better off with Brendan Rodgers and better off without those who were displeased.
James, the fact that you feel it's going to be Brendan Rodgers' last season, you think he might not even last the season, does that mean you don't have any confidence that he's going to get backed or that any, you know, big money will get spent this window, or do you feel that still could happen, but it's not going to be enough to convince Brendan Rodgers to stay?
I don't even think it's up to the board. I think Brendan's probably made his mind up, as Hugh says, if he sticks to his word and sees out this season. You know, does Brendan really want to, you know, do another 2 or 3 years here? I don't know, only he knows. But I think it's the same with Celtic every year. You know, we wait until the Champions League result is... it either goes for us or against us, and then they start to, you know, the purse strings open slightly. It'll be the same again. You know, if we qualify for the Champions League, you probably see a signing or two come in of note, but that's probably what I imagine will happen.
But what kind of business practice is it, James, that you go into a Champions League qualifier where the multi-million pound side stake is there? If you don't qualify, you lose that. What kind of business practice is it that doesn't allow you to bring in the very best players to ensure that you do qualify?
I agree, completely agree. But as a lot of the guys were saying yesterday, Celtic, you know, they run it as a business first and foremost. And I think they know, you know, even if they get these signings in, Celtic, you know, with all due respect, you know, Celtic don't do anything and will never do anything. I know in the Champions League last season was great. You know, the new format, we've done well. We get through to that, you know, the second phase. But realistically, you know, these 7-1 defeats and stuff, you know, the board know that this is going to happen regardless of the signings they make. So therefore, you know, they've got their business head on, and the signings they make, it's not for the Champions League. It's never been for the Champions League. It's for being domestically only.
I think it changes the calibre of player, though. Sorry to interrupt you, James. I think it changes the calibre of player that Celtic can bring in if there is Champions League football guaranteed. There are definitely targets now for Brendan Rodgers that will be saying, or their agents will be saying, well, you know, if you were in the Champions League, guaranteed to be in it, these players would be signing. There'll be other players that, you know, if they weren't to make the Champions League, I think they'll have two totally different lists. And believe me, there will be players out there saying, I want to play in the Champions League. If Celtic are in the Champions League, all of a sudden, you know, Celtic are able to attract these players. If they're not in the Champions League, then unfortunately they can't. So I do get what is a bit of patience. I get it. It's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, because then people are saying, if you don't have these good players, then how are you guaranteed to qualify? There's no guarantees anyway. But, you know, as I said, there's going to be players out there that want Champions League football, and they will come to the football club if Celtic are in there.
My concern, James, would be that yesterday's draw for Rangers would encourage the Celtic hierarchy to say, well, there you are. We don't really need to strengthen the team. You know, they're struggling. I just find the whole business unfathomable, and Brendan Rodgers clearly finds it unacceptable. And I think the Celtic supporters, with their 8% increase on their season ticket, should find it unacceptable as well.
Well, thank you to James. Celtic fans, keep those thoughts coming. 01419511025. Spinning a few plates here, just with the timing of this game and, of course, the reaction to other matches. Let's hear a bit more from Russell Martin, because there's been a lot of reaction, hasn't there, to his post-match comments after that draw with Motherwell yesterday, and he was talking about some of the issues with players and the fact that they were existing before he was came to the club.
When I knew I was in for the job, I watched a lot of games where players just do what they want, and that's not on the manager. That's not. I thought Barry did a great job. I could see what Philippe was trying to do, but players sometimes, yeah, same problems really. Want to run, sometimes don't, and you need better mentality than that to play for this football club and to actually win things. So to play for this football club and being successful at this football club, which I know very well, is two very different things. So you need to want to win and fight and take the ball all the time. Oh, we work out with the guys who were all in all the time. Lyle Cameron come on, was fantastic. Just ran, just played his position, did everything that worked on in training, was great. John and Nasser, Jack, did great. So there's a few really, really good performers.
Gary is a Rangers fan in Hart Hill. Gary, how do you reflect on everything that happened yesterday?
Hi, guys. It's good to have you back on the radio. Makes a change for a Saturday afternoon and Sunday. I just feel yesterday Rangers were pretty poor. Motherwell actually deserved to beat Rangers out and out. They didn't play as a team, and when Steven Gerrard was in charge, his team was a lot stronger than what Russell Martin's got, if you look back over the previous years. And now that's two seasons in the bounce that Rangers have started their opening campaign, and it's been a draw. They drew the Hearts last year 0-0, and now Motherwell 1-1. So they're needing a lot of changes to make them actually fight for this league, because they're opening the door for Celtic today.
It's actually 3 years in a row now that Rangers haven't won an opening day fixture, because it was a defeat to Kilmarnock, wasn't it, on the opening day
two
years ago. But how big a concern will it be when you look at the squad generally with the players that have been brought in? Because Russell Martin still, he says, has a lot of work to do. There are players he's brought in that haven't featured yet. You look at Tello Asgard, Emmanuel Fernandez was brought in from Peterborough, hasn't been selected to start yet. How far away from the squad that Russell Martin either wants or needs do you think this Rangers team are?
I think you probably want to bring another three or four players. But as Hugh mentioned earlier on in the show, there's going to have to be that balance between it, because at this moment in time, the squad's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And he still has players on the books who are taking a wage that he doesn't actually want at the football club, but they still need somewhere to train. That's your biggest problem. It's not, you know, match day squads, because these players will know they're out of the squad. But when he's putting training sessions together, there's probably going to be far too many players there. I think Rangers are still short from what Russell Martin wants, you know, three or four. But also, he needs to get more out of the players that are in the building. And I think that's what he's saying yesterday. You know, he's not just putting it all on, I need three or four players, because that's easy for a manager to do. He's saying about the players in there, you have to do more. You know, if these players were playing at 100% tilt and doing everything Russell Martin said they should be doing, and then they draw the game, he'll then look at himself. He said maybe it's a tactical thing. But until those players are hitting the levels that they should be in terms of effort and application, then he's going to look at them. You know, they can't just keep signing players, and he definitely understands that. Needs to get more out of the players. And like you said, it's come down to mentality and ego and all these sorts of things. And just quickly, he said about, you know, players doing what they want. I remember Andrew Postecoglou said that as well at a point when he was at Celtic right at the start. Players are going off script, and if they do that, they won't play for me. Managers have a way of playing. They set the team up to play that way, so everyone's on the same wavelength. As soon as you get one or two not sticking to what they should be doing, the whole thing goes to pot. And that's when you start losing or drawing games that you should be winning. So yeah, listen, I totally understand what he's saying, and it's up to the players now to step up to the mark.
When you have a look at, you know, we obviously talked about Russell Martin bringing in his own players, but he also, as Marvin said, needs to get the best out of the players that were already there. Will that be a concern that players like potentially Nico Raskin, Mohamed Diamandé, John Souter maybe aren't playing to their best level in the early stages of this campaign?
You know, so much was expected of Raskin. And he, like everyone else, was quiet yesterday. Gassama got his first start after scoring home and away against Panathinaikos. You're expecting big things from him, but he was easily subdued by Motherwell. It might be the case that it will come together and quickly for Russell Martin, but I think yesterday's result puts him under a bit of pressure with regard to Tuesday's match against Victoria Pilsen. Others will be brought in, I have no doubt, because Rangers seem capable of getting transfers across the line quickly, as opposed to their rivals, who take an eternity to do anything. But there's no doubt that Russell Martin has to get more out of the players who started yesterday, because he seems to have no faith in those who are part of this bloated squad that he looks at in training every day.
He has to get the balance right as well, doesn't he? Yeah. Between Raskin and Rodwell. Hugh said there about Raskin, how important he was last season. His position's been altered as well. He's gone from playing in that sixth position, which he looked so comfortable in that Rangers team, to playing as a number eight. So it's also the balance of, yes, I'm bringing in players that potentially will improve our starting 11, but that can't be, you know, to the detriment of players who are already there that were doing well as well.
We've talked about the issues at both ends of the park. When you look in the middle, Rangers look really exposed in midfield, and it looked as if the instructions are that Nicholas Raskin, Mohamed Diamandé have to push out a bit wider. The expectation then is that what James Tavernier, Max Aarons tuck in. It didn't really seem as if that was working. Every time the ball got turned over, Joe Rothwell just seemed to be the only Rangers player in the centre of the pitch, and Rangers got completely overrun. How do Rangers fix that?
Well, sometimes it's just time. You know, as Russell Martin said, I think they're 6 weeks into, you know, him being in at the football club. So there's going to be teething problems 100%. And that'll be something that, you know, himself and the coaching staff and the analysts will look up. And then they'll show the players this and saying, when the ball's in this position, we have to do this. There's always going to be, you know, a couple of things where they look, you know, too exposed, et cetera, et cetera. But I definitely agree with you. And Motherwell probably, you know, realised that that was happening in the game or before the game. And tactically, they're saying, when we turn the ball over, go straight at them, because Rotherwell will be in there by himself. So you have to give them credit for that as well. But from Rangers' point of view, it's definitely something they're going to have to improve. You know, they're set up behind the ball, you know, during the transitions, because if they're that open, you know, no respect to Motherwell, against, say, a Celtic, for example, they're going to find themselves in massive trouble.
Given what you saw yesterday, Gary, where are your confidence levels in Rangers being able to find success this season?
For definitely, because they're lacking goals big time, and as I say, midfield, they need somebody in the middle that's actually got to be solid and actually drive the ball for it instead of just playing backwards all the time. We want to go forward, no backwards. Everybody wants to see that, like.
Well, you know, we'll see. Celtic,
big chance for Celtic. Have hit the woodwork and the ball comes back in. Shamal George manages to get a hold of that and gathers and just goes to ground. We'll see out a bit of time. It was Benjamin Nygren looking for his first Celtic goal. It was Dyson Maeda down the left. Nygren, after the ball was played into the box, a left-footed shot. It was a save by Shamal George, wasn't it, onto the bar?
Yeah, great first touch from Nygren, though. You know, he comes in from the left-hand side from Maeda, takes the first touch on his right foot, taking it back across his body onto his left foot. You know, great strike on target. And to be honest, from Shamal George, that's a fantastic save. And he manages, I think he just gets his right foot to it, goes off the bar right as the half-time whistle goes as well.
To go back to Gary's concerns, you know, Tuesday becomes very, very important now, because Tuesday will bleed into Saturday night against Dundee. So Tuesday's, you've got to measure Rangers' reaction on Tuesday.
Well, thank you to Gary. Let's go to Celtic Park, because it's half-time between Celtic and St Mirren. Gabriel Antoniazzi is watching on.
Yes, Andrew, it is 0-0 between Celtic and St Mirren at the interval. Brendan Rodgers' side have control of the ball but have struggled to break down this solid St Mirren team. The defending champions made a bit of a shaky start, nearly a huge mix-up between Cam McArthur-Vickers and Kasper Schmeichel. They did settle into it, both full-backs doing well, probably Celtic's best attacking outlets. Kieran Tierney looked strong on his return, beating his man down the left a few times with good balls into the box and a couple of efforts on goal as well. There was a big opening when last year's player of the year, Dyson Maeda, rounded Shamal George in the buddy's goal. But no one was there for his cutback. Looked like he could have scored himself into the empty net. And the closest that Celtic have come is right before the break there. Benjamin Nygren, who has looked quite good on his full debut, had his close-range effort tipped onto the bar very well by Shamal George. St Mirren did start to grow into the game after about 25 minutes. They had good spells in Celtic's third. O'Hara had a good curling effort, a good save from Schmeichel. They had a very, very good shape defensively. No gaps in that back three, back five. And Stephen Robinson has his men very well drilled as ever. He'll be asking for more of the same from his players in the second 45. But Rodgers needs more here, just lacking that spark up top. And you do wonder how long until Celtic turn to their bench. Half-time here, it's 0-0.
Yeah, goalless between Celtic and St Mirren at half time. So maybe you're a Celtic or St Mirren fan that wants to let us know what you thought of that first half. 01419511025. And we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half time between Celtic and St Mirren at Celtic Park on Flag Day for Brendan Rodgers' side, and goalless between the two. Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean. We're here through till 7 o'clock. So no matter what team you support, your team probably in action this weekend, we want to hear your thoughts on the opening weekend. 0141 951 1025. We're just seeing that Benjamin Negrin chance again, the best chance of the half. A really good save, wasn't it, by Shamal George to keep him out?
Changes the whole complexion, doesn't it? Because if Celtic win one up, for all that they have been poor, it sends them in an optimistic way, and it's a sickener for St Mirren. But goalkeeper does his job. I think this team that Brendan Rodgers has picked is one where the manager can turn to the director's box and say, this is all I have left.
Did he have much choice, though? Is there anyone on the bench that could have started to make the team look stronger?
I think now, given what we have seen with the first 45 minutes, then, you know, I know we have a joke about Yang, but he has nothing to offer Celtic. And he could be removed. And again, you're having to go back to a 34-year-old James Forrest. But James Forrest would offer more to the game than Yang. And I'm afraid Adam Ida, who promised 30 goals this season, well, he's still 30 short of 30. And I would like to see Shin Yamada given a chance second half, because Celtic are going nowhere. Other than the chance from Benjamin Negan, Celtic are going nowhere. And St Mirren are playing very well, absolutely sure of themselves. And there's no guarantee that Celtic will get any points today.
Would you expect to see changes at half-time from Brendan Rodgers, or do you think he'll maybe wait it out and maybe get to that 60-minute mark?
Yeah, I think he could wait it out. You know, I agree with Hugh. You know, in terms of the top end and actually making Shamal George pull off save after save, they've not managed to do that. But they have had a lot of possession. You know, it's clearly, you know, something that Brendan Rodgers has worked on in terms of the wingers running in behind and behind that back five and trying to force them back. But, you know, St Mirren will tire as well. It's very, very difficult for them, you know, in terms of what they're doing, because whenever they do have possession, you know, they're pressed really, really quickly, especially, you know, 15 minutes onwards in that first half. So they'll begin to tire as well, and then, you know, start to begin to pull them apart. So I expect him to leave it the way it is. Ask those players, definitely are on the pitch, I need more from you, you know, before he turns to his bench, like you said, around that 60-minute mark, to freshen it up again and go get St Mirren again if they don't score goal in the first 15 minutes of the second half.
Yeah, it's game plan working for St Mirren so far, isn't it? Because they've, you know, they're keeping Celtic at bay. They are going to give up chances. It's always going to happen at Celtic Park. You need your goalkeeper to be on form as well. But Stephen Robinson, you think, will be pretty happy with what he's seen so far from his team.
Well, he came to Celtic Park final game of last season in the league, and his team were better than Celtic. And he's gone to Celtic Park first game of the new season in the league, and his team are as good as Celtic. Brendan Rodgers has been trying desperately to draw attention to the fact that Celtic are significantly weaker than they were last season, and no one appears to be paying any attention.
Do Celtic have the difference makers, do you feel, on the bench in that final third? You mentioned James Forrest, the only other attacking options, Johnny Kenny, who we'll see how big a part he has to play this season, and Shin Yamada. Of course, we haven't really seen anything of Shin Yamada yet, so it's hard to judge.
Forrest will have to come on, because Yang is contributing nothing to the game.
He's not the only one, though, is he?
No, but you know, I'm starting with Forrest. He'll have to come on. And I'm suggesting that if my choice is Yamada or Johnny Kenny, then I'm saying have a look at Yamada, because he did impress pre-season. But at the moment, I'd also bring on Engels to see what he can do. But at the moment, Celtic are uninspiring, no cutting edge, have one chance at goal in 45 minutes, and Brendan Rodgers knows it's not good enough. The Celtic supporters inside the ground know it's not good enough, and callers on the line will tell us shortly it's not good enough.
We'll hear from Gabriel shortly whether there's likely to be any changes for either team ahead of the second half. 01419511025. David is a Rangers fan in Newton Mearns. David, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm just driving home now, and I was actually just thinking what I'm actually going to say, to be honest with you, because First of all, hi Andrew, Hugh and Marvin.
Hello.
Hi mate.
How you doing? I just, like, watching that game yesterday, I'll be honest with you, right, I know we've got to give it time and all that, but the mistakes between Motherwell playing the way they played, which was similar to the back that Rangers did, there was the amount of mistakes that was happening was unbelievable. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a goal kick. You've got two guys on the six-yard box passing it to your goalkeeper, Butland, and then Butland's kicking out the park because he can't deal with it. I don't understand how this is going to get better when you've not got the players that can deal with it. This is what I don't understand. Plus, we're going to lose goals. Rangers will lose goals doing that. And we haven't got a guy up front that can put the ball in the back of net. Because I tell you what, Danilo is not the answer. Because Danilo, fair play to the guy, he tries his best. He's not the answer. And we've got a guy that was the top goal scorer in Scottish football. And he's on the bench. So we need to... I don't understand. I really don't understand it.
Yeah, I think from what Russell Martin was saying after the game yesterday, he actually had a lot of praise for Cyril Dessers. He said he came on, he did the running, he worked really hard. He said he's a player that they've had interest in bids for this summer. You know, the valuation hasn't been matched yet, but he said he's not been unsettled. He's been one of the players that's essentially an example that he's coming on. He's not sort of fussed by any outside noise. He's just doing his job. But said essentially he's not been ready to start because he was behind everyone in pre-season. So would you expect that he would come in for Danilo on Tuesday?
Whether it's Tuesday or, you know, near on after that, as soon as Dessers is fit to start, he will start. There's no doubt about it. You know, as David said there, he's a top goal scorer in Scotland last season. Russell Martin's aware of, you know, Rangers are a better team with the current squad that they do have with Dessers in it rather than not being in it. You know, he spoke about his mentality like you just said there as well. So, yeah, I expect Dessers to, whether he starts on Tuesday, whether, you know, it's the weekend he starts, he'll definitely be starting games for them. And, you know, Russell Martin be hoping that he can be top goal scorer again because that's always going to help them. David's other point in terms of, you know, Rangers trying to play from the back, and that's what I'm talking about, you know, it's fine having that goal kick from the start or playing from the back, but if the next bit's not working, there has to be layers to what Rangers are doing to play through the third. So if the midfielders aren't dropping into the areas that they need to drop into, if people aren't running forward or rotating, then that's what Russell Martin's talking about. They are going to start to lose the ball. They are going to kick it out of play. They are going to get caught on the ball because players aren't moving into the areas where, one, the man on the ball expects them to be, and two, where Russell Martin expects them to be also.
Do you think that they're fully taken on board what Russell Martin wants them to do, how he wants them to play?
Well, surely not, because Russell Martin said that post-match, didn't he? He said there's several players out there who weren't doing the running and weren't doing the things he was asking them. So is that not a sort of obvious part of it all, of why it wasn't working? Because Russell Martin has gone into his post-match press conference and called out some players for not doing that.
Well, you know, it was very, very disappointing. I'm watching Celtic half a game here, and I watched the Rangers game yesterday evening, and they're two bad lots right now.
Yeah, David, just to, you know, it's obviously, is it a bit of a shock to the system because, you know, previous managers at Rangers, you know, it's been a criticism thrown at them that there's not been a discernible style of play. Clearly, Russell Martin is bringing his own style of play. It is a radical change. It is an extreme style of play. Is it a bit of a shock to the system as a Rangers fan just how different it is?
The system, it's obviously, this is the way he wants to play, but see, at the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of goals lost, and as I said, we've no got, there's guys no pulling their weight. 100% Diamande, good player, but just falls away all the time, and this is one of the players, the egos, he thinks he's all that. This is what needs to happen. That boy needs to realise he's got to play the whole game, no half a game, and all we was, see, I'll be honest with you, I'm not saying Barry Ferguson would have been the choice to be the manager, but I tell you what, he would have won that game yesterday.
We don't know whether Mohamed Diamande is one of the players that Russell Martin was talking about, and I think there's maybe been a bit of confusion about Russell Martin's comments, because I heard his interview with Sky, and I think some people interpreted it as he said that there were two men out there who essentially weren't doing the running and weren't doing what he asked of them, when he actually said there were too many out there. So he's calling out quite a few players, so we will see possibly on Tuesday if those players are taken out of the team. But will that hurt those players as professionals, that their ego is being called out and that they're going into self-preservation mode? Or will it maybe not bother some of them if that is their character and
Well, if it doesn't bother them, that, you know, Russell might only want them at the football club. He'll want it to bother them. He'll want to see a reaction from them. He'll want them to be hurt by those words. As I said, if you fall into that category, what the manager's talking about, the only people who will take offence to it are those players there. As I said, if you're doing all the running, you're doing everything the manager's asks of you. Cameron comes on the pitch. Dessers comes on the pitch and he praises them. They've done exactly what he wanted them to do. If you're a starter and you've done exactly what the manager wants you to do, you're absolutely fine with his comments. In fact, you'll be backing up his comments by saying, you know, he's right, because he's shown us throughout the week, he's shown us throughout these 6 weeks what he wants from us, and certain players weren't doing it. So, yes, the manager came out and called those players out, the ones that weren't doing the hard running, but I'm pretty sure it should have happened. Some of the players within the dressing room would have been saying to their teammates, listen, the manager's asked us to do this. We've not done it. That's on you guys. You know, it can't be 7 or 8 of us turning up for matches. It has to be 11 of us. If we're going to compete at the top end of this league, if we're going to compete in the cup competitions, everybody has to be pulling in the right direction. And I don't mean by, you know, being unbelievable in every single game, completing every single pass, you know, little bits of magic, just doing the basics, the running and the application. There are two things that should never be called into question, especially as a professional footballer.
David, are there any other obvious candidates? You obviously feel Mohamed Diomande is one of the players that Russell Martin's referring to. For you, are there any other obvious candidates that you feel are the ones Russell Martin's talking about and could be pulled from the starting lineup come Tuesday?
To be honest, European game, I'm not saying we get lucky, but yeah, they had a lot of chances. Obviously, we took our chances and we got a result. Good. And I'm not saying anything about Russell Martin all the time in the world, but see it in the day. This is. I don't want it to be like last season. Guys, no coming and turn up for one game and then no turning up, because that doesn't win you leagues. You win a league because you have players that play for the jersey every single week. And as Russell Martin said, when times gets hard, you need to still knuckle in and get on with it. Don't feel sorry for yourself.
Is that a big thing for a manager or a coach, Marvin, that, as David mentions there and you mentioned earlier on, it's not necessarily about the quality of what the player is doing on the pitch at all times, because players will be inconsistent, they might have off games, but is it those basics and those non-negotiables that Russell Martin's talking about, that he will go into a press conference after a game and defend his players if they're trying to do the right things but failing to do so because of other circumstances? But if it is effort, if it is ego, if it is self-preservation tactics, is that when he's going to come out and have a real go at them?
Yeah, that's exactly it, Andrew, you know, and he'll be highly frustrated. As I said, you know, he spoke about the tactical side of it and said this is not a tactical problem. He mentioned what the problems were, and they're all down to individuals, because they're going out there with the wrong mentality, or it's becoming a little bit difficult, or the Rangers fans are becoming, you know, a little bit agitated with the way that the game's going, and all of a sudden, like you said, players are just going into their shells and going away from it. You can't afford for that to happen when you play for Rangers Football Club, because every single team outside of Celtic domestically will be saying, go there, go to Ibrox, or when you play against Rangers, even at home, turn their fans against them, because they always travel in numbers, or you play at Ibrox, there's always a lot of people there, turn their fans against them and this team will crumble. That can't be something that's labelled at that football club, because they begin to struggle game after game. So yeah, you know, he's totally right, I believe, in what he said. And as I said again, the players will give a reaction. It's so easy to react to that, because all he's asking you to do is to run.
What does it do for the whole sort of general atmosphere around Rangers, Hugh? Because you look at the start of summer, there was a lot of optimism. There was a takeover, a new manager, new players coming in. Yes, the performances weren't perfect against Panathinaikos. There were flaws in there, but Rangers managing to get through. It seems as if any positivity has sort of been undone across the space of 90 minutes yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. There was a lot of positivity around the Panathinaikos aggregate result. Even though the fans knew they had witnessed two mediocre performances, even though they knew that Panathinaikos had thrown the tie away by being so awful in front of goal, at least the job was done. But yesterday created doubt, because it was a reversal to last season, you know, where you do well against Celtic but do badly against the like of Motherwell or St Mirren. And that's why it's so important on Tuesday that Rangers react, deliver a performance and get a scoreline that the fans can react to. All of a sudden, that's become a big, big game for Russell Martin.
Well, thank you to David. Let's hear a bit more from Russell Martin speaking about the fans' reaction. They were angry at full time, and Russell Martin says he was on the same page as them.
I was as angry as they were, so I completely understand the supporters' reaction. We have a point that we didn't deserve, so I have to be really honest about it. And I said from day one, I'm not going to try and play any game. I'm going to be really honest with them about certain things, well, all of it, but the players, all of it. And as much as I can be with you guys and the supporters, because they deserve that. And today, we let them down. Mentality team, I spoke about it so much since we come in, and it was a big problem.
Well, anything to add to that? 01419511025. It is into the second half at Celtic Park. Still goalless, 48 and a half minutes on the clock. There was a change for St Mirren at the break. Jonah Ayunga came on, and it was Fraser Taylor that came off, which actually looks like quite an attacking move from St Mirren, because was it Roland Adowu that was up there supporting Mikael Mandron in the first half? You'd expect Roland Adowu would maybe drop back into that midfield three, and there'll be now two sort of out-and-out strikers up there.
Stephen Robinson knows Celtic are here for the taking. I'm surprised that Celtic made no changes, because it should have been done at half-time. They've started as they negotiated the first half, insipid, no cutting edge, not going anywhere. You know, they really are having a poor afternoon, and I thought that it was time for a response at half time. Not, you know, if we wait any longer, St Mirren will be a goal up.
Well, it is the opening weekend of the Scottish season, so no matter who you support, no matter what your result was this weekend, we want to hear from you. We are here until 7 o'clock. You can give us a call, 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now.